Morning. This Sunday we have the Sunday School story of Elijah and the prophet of Baal. Our main focus in this story is going to be the first commandment, that there is only one true God, and he has commanded that we worship him and him alone, and we shouldn't go after idols or false gods. They will not be able to help us, but the only true God is able to help us and does answer his prayers. So, law and gospel would be worship only the true God, but on the other side, the gospel is Jesus is our good shepherd who, even when we fail to worship him the way we should, doesn't destroy us with fire, but seeks us out in order to turn our hearts back to him, as we're going to see in the story this morning, as well as his ability to actually help, unlike the idols, and to answer our prayers. In our story, in our Sunday school lessons last week, we heard about how Elijah warned Ahab that there would be a drought on all the land of Israel, and then God provided for Elijah. Today, that drought is about to come to an end. Elijah goes to find Ahab, and something that happens actually just before the story that you have in your lessons. So the story in your lessons begins in verse 20 of 1 Kings 18. But just before that, Elijah left the widow of Zarephath and went to look and found Obadiah. Obadiah was one of Ahab's generals. And so Elijah goes to find Obadiah and tells Obadiah to go get Ahab. We find out that Obadiah was a God-fearing man. He worshipped the Lord. He respected Elijah the prophet. And in fact, in that encounter, we find out how Obadiah himself had hidden 100 of the Lord's prophets when Jezebel, the evil queen, was trying to kill the Lord's prophets. He had hidden 100 of the prophets in caves and fed and watered them himself. He's a little bit afraid to go tell Ahab that Elijah's here because Ahab is really, really angry at Elijah, because Ahab blames Elijah for the drought. Of course, it wasn't Elijah's fault. It was Ahab in his sinfulness. Obadiah is afraid that Elijah might leave or suddenly be someplace else, and then he'll get in trouble, big trouble, if he tells Ahab Elijah is here, and then they go back and Elijah isn't there. But Elijah promises Obadiah that that's not going to happen, that he has come to talk to Ahab. So anyway, Ahab comes, and Elijah tells him to summon all the prophets of Baal. There's 450 prophets of Baal, and all the prophets of Asherah. There's 400 prophetesses of Asherah. Asherah was Baal's female companion. So it's kind of like, from the Philistine point of view, the king and queen of heaven. So they summon all the Israelites and gather together at Mount Carmel, and Elijah reprimands the people. How long are you going to hesitate between two options? Either follow Jehovah or follow Baal, but quit this waffling back and forth. There were some, like Obadiah and Elijah in Israel, who followed Jehovah faithfully and worshipped him the way they were supposed to. There were many who worshipped Baal and followed him, and there were many others who said, well, what does it matter? They're two different names, but they're both the same name for God. You want to worship your God, go ahead, and I'll worship this God, and we'll both worship together. It's all the same thing. Syncretism, unionism, the blending together of different religions and beliefs. It's a very popular idea in our day. There are many different paths to God. It doesn't really matter what name you give him. You hear that all the time. And that, of course, is not true at all. Not only were Jehovah and Baal very different gods in that they had very different names, but they were obviously very, very different in how you worship them and in the commandments they gave to their people. Baal was a false god. One of the things you could discuss with your kids afterwards, I kind of go through the story first, and afterwards we're going to come back and discuss, is it important that we make a distinction? Is it Is it fair for God to demand that we worship Him only? Is it kind of pet, or is it kind of petty and mean of God to say, well, you should only worship me? So we're going to kind of come back to that question at the end. Of course, I mean, you already know the answer, but something we could talk about with the kids. So Elijah asks the people, well, which one is God? Well, he kind of approaches this very scientifically. Let's give him a test. Let's see which one answers. In point of fact, God had already proven that he was God. He had shut up the heavens for 3 years, giving no rain on the land. He had said he was going to do it, and he did it. And so the proof was already there, and the Lord had proved himself God many, many times before this as well. But he, in his grace and mercy, here he's giving the people another chance, another opportunity. As you remember, Baal was supposed to be the god of rain and of storms. So suggesting that we build an altar and that we have whichever god answers by fire from heaven, suggesting that as the test is, again, Jehovah challenging Baal on his own supposed ground. This is what Baal was supposed to have the power to do, to send rain and storms as well as thunder. This was supposed to be his prime power here. But the Lord is going to show that Baal is nothing. He has no power. He's not even a real God, and that the Lord alone is God. So people think, well, this is good, and probably partially they're thinking, all right, a spectacle here. Maybe, you know, worst case scenario, these prophets kind of try and call their God and nothing happens and we go home. But if something does happen, that'll kind of be cool to watch. So maybe there's kind of a carnival attitude in their minds, at least. So Elijah lets the prophets of Baal go first, and they begin around 6 in the morning. The Bible says they began at the time of the morning sacrifice. So that was pretty much kind of right at dawn that they began. Now, possibly they had gathered there quite early in the morning, or maybe they gathered there the day before and they're getting up in the morning. We don't know exactly, but it says they pretty much began at dawn. They built their altar and called for Baal to answer. Of course, nobody answers, even though they call on Baal, and they actually keep calling on him all morning, from 6 in the morning until noon. Then at noon, Elijah begins to make fun of them. He says, oh, maybe you should shout louder. Maybe he just didn't hear you. Or he says, well, maybe he's, you know, in the bathroom. Or maybe he's wandered away, or maybe he's sleeping. So you need to call louder to wake him up. Now, Elijah's making fun of them because, of course, Elijah knows that the true God doesn't do any of those things. And that the true God listens to his people when they call on him. But the prophets of Baal, they didn't know that. They didn't think like that. They thought that God was powerful, but that he was kind of like us, that he had to do these things, that he might be gone on a trip, or he might be in the bathroom, or he might be sleeping. And so what a difference we see between the false religions of this world and the prophets of Baal. So they don't even realize that Elijah's making fun of them, and they actually decide, okay, we need to do something to get his attention. So they start shouting loudly. They actually get up on the altar and dance around on it, and then they cut themselves with knives. And again, what a difference between the false religions of this world and our true God. We have the promises from God that he listens to us when he prays, that he is going to answer our prayers, not always the way that we want, but in the way that is best for us. We don't have to shout or do anything to get his attention. But here the prophets of Baal, they think they need to convince God to listen to him. They need to do something that's going to convince their God that they're worthy to be listened to. And so they do a dance for him. They start cutting themselves to show how serious they are. In contrast to that, we have the promises of God in Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And also Psalm 50:15, Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. What a wonderful and amazing God we have, who promises to listen to all of our prayers, no matter what we're praying about, no matter how loudly we call on him. It doesn't matter if we're, you know, perfect or not. We sin a lot, and we can confess that sin, and God forgives us, and he listens to our prayers anyway. We don't have to prove our obedience to him by cutting ourselves or by giving a large donation at church. The Lord always listens to all that we say. So the prophets of Baal, they try and get his attention. They try and convince him to listen to him. It doesn't work. They continue this all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice around 6 p.m. And now it's Elijah's turn. And in this part of the story, you can call the children to notice how many times we have the number 12. Elijah took 12 stones to build the altar, which was the number of the tribes of Israel. So it was a number representing the people of God. And then he made that trench and took the four water parts and filled them three times. So you can ask your kids, well, four times three. So he had four water parts. He filled three times and dumped over the sacrifice and filled up the trench. But four times three is what? It's 12. So once again, we have the number 12 there. And filled the sacrifice and the ditch with the water. Then he prayed, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, you are the God of Israel. So there we have that reference to again, the God of Israel, from whom the 12 tribes came. So all of this is a reminder of God's very own promises to be the God of his people and the promises that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's on this basis that Elijah calls to God, to Jehovah. The prophets of Baal call to their God, and they want him to answer by virtue of their devotion, their dedication to him. Look, we're dancing, we're even cutting ourselves with knives. But that's not going to avail us before God. If we appeal to him, the true God, on the basis of anything we've done, then he's not going to listen. We, of course, are sinners, and nothing that we've done is worthy of his time or his attention. Elijah doesn't appeal to Jehovah on the basis of anything he had done or saying, look, I'm worthy for you to listen. He appeals to Jehovah on the basis of his promises. God had promised to be the God of Israel. And so he prays to the Lord that as he has promised to be the father to Israel, that he show himself this day and let everyone know that he is God. And the Lord answers with fire from heaven. It burns up not only the sacrifice, but the wood, the stones, the dust around it, even the water in the trench, everything is burnt up. And of course, all the people shout out, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah tells them to seize the prophets of Baal and Asherah and actually to kill all of them. Now, that might seem a little bit harsh to us, that you're going to kill all the people who don't worship the true God. And, of course, we are not called to do that. We shouldn't kill those who proclaim another God other than ours. We should talk to them and try and convince them to worship the true God. But here, in this case, God had demanded it because these prophets were leading his people astray. So they were causing his people to worship a false God. They were endangering the souls of his people. And he did not want his people to be led astray by these false prophets. So in this case, the Lord did command it, and the people did as God said that they should. We'll come back to that in a bit, too. One thing to discuss here is the reaction of the people. You can ask your kids, you know, how did they react when they saw the fire fall from heaven? You notice they fell face downward. What does that indicate about their attitude? And the answer, of course, is that indicates fear. They're very afraid. All of a sudden, the fire is falling from heaven and destroying the entire altar. It's just kind of going up like a bomb. And so they react in fear. And in that fear, they do as God commands to destroy all the prophets of Baal. However, and this is something which your Sunday school lesson kind of stops short of. It's kind of too bad. It's one of my pet peeves that a lot of Sunday school lessons, when doing this story, stop here after the prophets of Baal are destroyed, or maybe in the next section after of the rain comes. But if you continue on just a few verses into chapter 19, you find that the next day the people kind of turned back to their own way. Jezebel, when she heard what Elijah had done, promised to kill him, and the people didn't try and stop her. They just kind of fell back in line with Jezebel's leadership and with praying for Baal. Elijah actually runs away into the wilderness because he is despairing. If fire from heaven isn't going to convince the people, what good am I as a prophet? How can I possibly convince them to worship God? I called fire down from heaven, and that didn't even work. So that happens really the next day after this. So yes, the people proclaim Jehovah is God. And yes, they react in fear, but they only follow God then when reacting out of fear. They only follow God as long as they're afraid. The next day when they're kind of away from the mountain and the fire that they had seen, they just turn back to their own ways. So here's another important point in this lesson to discuss how God creates faith in our hearts. It can be very tempting to think a display of power, like we see here in our lesson, is what's going to convince God. Or we might think if we can prove that Jesus rose from the dead, if we can prove that God created the world, that will convince people to worship God. Fear doesn't convince people to worship God. Instead, we know the truth that it's only God's word that can create faith in people's hearts. And it's only the gospel in particular that can create faith in people's hearts. And so God doesn't approach us on a basis of fear, but on a basis of love. And all the promises of God's word remind us of that, how he loves us. And it's that love of God, the power of God in the love of God working through the means of grace, God's word and sacraments, that changes people's hearts. And we see this also in the life of Jesus. Think of how many miracles he did, and yet how many people at first were pretty impressed with the miracles and followed him, but later on deserted him, turned away, so that not so many people were following him later in his ministry. Especially we saw this with the feeding of the 5,000. He gave them all bread, and at first they were very joyful, but the next day many of them left. So it is not fear or these powerful demonstrations of God's power that are really going to change people's hearts, but only the word of God. So we come back to the question of the first commandment, and that's kind of at the heart of this lesson, of course. Who is the true God, and who should we worship and serve? And is it really okay for God to kill the prophets of Baal? Is it really okay for God to demand that we worship him only? Well, a good analogy to use with your kids is, well, what about your parents? You know, your parents are your parents. They're the ones who love you. Is it okay for you to wake up one day and decide, hey, you know what? I want different parents. So I'm just going to leave my parents and go and find different parents. And whatever parents I find, well, or I decide, they will be my parents. Well, your parents aren't going to let you do this. They're going to come and find you if you try and leave and bring you back home. And the reason is because they love you, and they know that if you just wander off looking for different parents, you might end up with somebody very bad, very evil, as your supposed new parents. And not only that, but wandering around without anyone to protect you and watch out for you is very dangerous. And what are you going to eat, and where are you going to sleep as you're out there wandering around? So God says he is a jealous God. He is the one who created us. He is the one that gives us all things. He is our Father who loves us and wants to watch over us and protect us. And it's not okay for us to just simply decide, you know what, I don't care if God is the one who created me and watches over me. You know what, I'm going to go make my own God and find my own God. God knows how dangerous and how bad that is for us, and he doesn't want it for us. And that's why he kills the prophets of Baal in our story this morning. Even though that's not something that we should do, God does it out of love for his people. He wants to protect them, and that's why he doesn't want us going after other gods, but only to seek the one true God and worship him and read his word and learn about his love for us. Another thing you could, you know, ask your kids is, who won? You know, at the top of Mount Carmel there, who won? And of course, they'll probably answer, well, Elijah won, right? Oh, and then you can go into what we talked about before. While seeing that Elijah won, did the people serve the only true God? And you can talk about how they only served him out of fear. And it really changed their hearts. But it's only God's word that can change people's hearts. Lord's blessings on your Sunday school lesson tomorrow. As always, give me a call or an email if you have any questions.